Hi, I'm Carl Azus. Welcome to our last show of the week. We know many of you will be spending the next couple days digging out from a winter storm, and we'll have a report on that in just a couple minutes. First, though, on Wednesday night, U.S. Special Forces targeted a terrorist leader in northwestern Syria. His name was Abu Ibrahim al-Hashimi al-Karashi. He'd been in charge of the ISIS terrorist group since its former leader was killed more than a year ago. Al-Karashi died in the raid.
Last night, operating on my orders, the United States military forces successfully removed a major terrorist threat to the world, the global leader of ISIS, known as Haji Abdullah. He took over as leader of ISIS in 2019. Since then, ISIS has directed terrorist operations targeting Americans, our allies and our partners, and countless civilians in the Middle East, Africa, and in South Asia.
The president went on to say that the reason U.S. troops were directly involved in the raid was to minimize the risk to civilians. Their lives would have been in greater danger if this had been an airstrike, but at least 13 people, including some civilians, were killed during and after the raid. U.S. officials say as American special forces approached, al-Karashi set off a suicide bomb that killed himself and several members of his family. All of the U.S. troops involved returned safely, though there was a mechanical problem with one of the helicopters used in the raid, and it had to be destroyed. ISIS is an acronym for Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. That's what the terrorist group wanted to create, a theocracy in the Middle East based on its extremist interpretation of Islam. ISIS quickly took over large parts of the territory in Iraq and Syria in 2014. It was a violent group, infamous for murdering scores of people who didn't share its beliefs. But 4 years after it swept to control in the Middle East, ISIS had faced relentless battles involving local militias, U.S. forces, groups supported by America, and Iraqi government troops. They'd all stepped up their fight against ISIS, and in 2018, the terrorist group admitted it was losing. Its former leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, was killed in a U.S. raid in northwestern Syria in 2019. Wednesday's operation that killed al-Karashi was the biggest American raid in Syria since then. More than 100 million people, that's almost a third of the U.S. population, were under winter weather alerts yesterday. A storm system affecting 25 states was blasting its way across the country, bringing sleet, snow, and ice from the southwest to the northeast, from New Mexico to New Hampshire. Roughly a quarter million homes and businesses lost electricity Thursday. Ice was threatening trees and power lines. Thousands of flights were canceled across the country, more than 3,800 of them. That was the most since last February. 20 inches of snow piled up in part of Colorado, while a foot of it coated areas in Illinois and Indiana. And the Northeast is bracing for snowfall expected to last through Friday. Here's CNN 10 contributor Tyler Malden with more on winter storms.
Snowstorms and cold fronts go hand in hand during the winter season. Every week during this time of the year, a weather system is sure to form and bring wintry mischief to someone. Not every snowstorm is the same, though. Some can be light, some can be heavy, some can be dangerous, and others fun. When you think of intense snowstorms, you think of terms like lake effect snow and blizzards. However, there's another type that is equally as dangerous, snow squalls. A snow squall is similar to a blizzard in that you need winds of at least 35 miles per hour and visibility of less than a quarter of a mile. But squalls only last 30 minutes, unlike a blizzard that has to last for at least 3 hours. Squalls are also followed by a flash freeze because they're associated with Arctic fronts. So an intense line of blinding snow pushes through and is immediately followed by a huge drop in temperatures, causing everything to freeze almost instantaneously. Squalls also have a long history of causing major car accidents due to the poor visibility and freeze, making being out on the road, driving, the worst place to be during a snow squall. Back in January 2015, whiteout conditions were blamed for shutting down Interstate 94 after nearly 200 vehicles were involved in a chain reaction pileup. Thankfully, the National Weather Service recently started issuing snow squall warnings to help keep you safe.
10-second trivia. In 1888, America's first vending machine dispensed what product? Chocolate, cigarettes, gum, or soap? The Thomas Adams Gum Company used a vending machine to sell its product on train platforms. it was not the first vending machine ever. Historians say a Greek inventor named Hero of Alexandria created a device that would dispense holy water after people deposited a coin. Of course, vending machines have come a long way since then. They're especially popular in Japan, where they dispense everything from eggs and flowers to t-shirts and hot dogs, and inventive ideas are surfacing on how to use existing vending machines in ways they haven't been used before.
When COVID first hit Japan, this vending machine helped Sugaku Matsuno's shop Mousseline stay afloat, one chiffon cake at a time. Customers could buy our products without human interaction whenever they wanted. After installing the machine, sales eventually increased 20%.
If I had spent my life just waiting for customers, I would have lost my mind and not been able to continue this business. The vending machine relieved that stress.
Vending machines are a staple in Japan. There are over 5.5 million of them in the country, one for every 23 people, the highest ratio in the world. And while it helped Matsuno's shop, experts say the overall industry took a hit during the pandemic.
People started working from home and the commuter traffic collapsed, and hence there's nobody walking by the vending machines.
Tech firm VPC Asia has been working in the vending machine industry for 5 years. It developed this device that helps upgrade older machines by connecting them to the internet, allowing access to the machines without having to touch or be near it. Customers can buy its products and check what's for sale using their smartphones, while operators can find out when and what products are out of stock, allowing them to route trucks more efficiently. Beyond these uses, Steiner says there's even more potential for innovation, opting to look at the machines as real estate.
There are so many, and they're in prime locations. And so what else can I do other than just selling the drinks or the food?
By including additional sensors, cameras, and other types of tech, Steiner says the machines could serve various purposes. From marketing, data storage, weather forecasting, noise analysis for crime prevention, to earthquake monitoring.
The vibration, we can monitor earthquakes. We cannot predict earthquake, but we can warn. We have millions of spots in Japan that we can see where earthquake comes from and maybe gain 10, 20 seconds. The platform is ready for all of these, meaning we've built it, we've tested it, we've designed it, it's all there.
While the tech may be ready, there's still a ways to go before we can see it on the market. Steiner says it still needs buy-in from all the different stakeholders.
The issue is how it integrates into the existing systems, into the society. Are they ready to use that data for earthquake or crime prevention? That is something that will take not months, but years.
From the don't try this at home category comes a new creation by an ultimate Star Wars fan, a real life lightsaber. A Russian YouTuber created a hydrogen and oxygen burner. It shoots out a plasma blade that's hotter than 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It can cut through steel. It earned him a Guinness World Record for handheld retractable lightsaber. The downside? Well, it's dangerous, and it only holds enough gas to burn for 30 seconds. Other than that, what's not to Luke? A lot of people OB want one, but it can OB harmful and Lando you in a lot of big trouble. So maybe we should get Chewbacca to playing with the plastic kind Mandalore again, especially if you're on the Jabba. You can't be cashing in on tar something that can lead to General Grievous. My name is Carl Azus. Today's shout out goes out to Athens Drive Magnet High School. It is located in Raleigh, North Carolina. Friday's awesome.